As you know, the theme for this entire series is commendable. Ancient words, biblical truths for modern living. Now that reminds us that the Bible and its message is indeed relevant. It's timeless, relevant for our day. It is profitable for our lives, and it is desirable to guide and to help us. Remember what David said in Psalm 73 and verse 24? With thy counsel thou wilt guide me, and afterward receive me unto glory. Later in Psalm 119 and verse 175, let my soul live that it might praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. God's word indeed is relevant. It is timeless. And the assignment, the topic that I've been given, is indeed a great one. Busy here and there, too busy to pray. Everything I'm going to say tonight is going to fall into one of two categories. The first, very simple. We ought to be people who are busy. Let's remember that. We're going to establish that fact this evening. And then secondly, we ought to be prayerful. Let's go back to that first observation, as simple as it is. I think we need to mention it because, as our title implies, some want to use their busyness as an excuse not to pray. Pray? Well, I can't pray. I'm just too busy to pray. Now, while we would never say that, brethren, isn't it so at times we practice the same? You remember the song that says, ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? What about this very day? Maybe you were planning to come to this lectureship. Maybe you knew tonight this lesson was going to be busy here and there, too busy to pray. What about this morning when you left your room? Did you think to pray? You see, busy here and there really depicts our lives, does it not? The proverbial beehive has nothing upon us. Grand Central Station is a very quiet oasis compared at times to our days, isn't it? Our schedule. We are all busy. We could call ourselves the busy generation. We're in a hurry to go nowhere. In Exodus 14 and verse 3, do you remember what the Pharaoh said about God's children? Wandering aimlessly. And that's what our society, our generation, seems to be doing very well. In a hurry, but in a hurry to just continue to wander aimlessly. Do you remember in Psalm 46 and verse 10? One translation says, cease striving and know that I'm God. Another one says, slow down. Slow down and know that I am God. Busy. You know, I think sometimes we emphasize, if we're not careful, the wrongness of being busy. Talking about being busy in other things, but let's qualify this. It is altogether right, it is inherently right for each and every one of us to be busy. God intended for us to be busy. In fact, God rebukes, he condemns sloth, laziness, doing nothing. Remember Matthew 25, the one talent man? Wicked and slothful. What did he do? He didn't do anything. Took his talent, went and buried it, and that's all he did. Later on, that same context, not only wicked and slothful, but unprofitable. Take the unprofitable servant, the Lord says in Matthew 25 and verse 30. You remember also what the Bible has to say in Proverbs 18 and verse 9. He who is slack in his work is brother to him who destroys. God intends for us to be busy. Have we ever noticed that the body God gave us to glorify him with has many movable parts? God intends us to be busy, to be active, to be involved. In Jeremiah 48 and verse 10, cursed is the man that does the Lord's work negligently. Do you remember in Matthew 20 and verse 6 what Jesus asked the question? Why have you been standing here idle all day long? God condemns idleness. God rebukes slothfulness, laziness. God intends for each and every one of us to be busy in His kingdom. Well, somebody says, well, Ken, what about Matthew 11 and verse 28? What about the rest that Jesus calls us to? Come unto me, all ye who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What about that rest? Well, I think we all understand that in that context, the rest that Jesus calls us to is a rest not from labor, a rest not from work, but a rest from sin. John 8 and verse 32. Remember in that context, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We are free from sin, at rest from iniquity. Now, according to Revelation 14, 13, later in the next life, we will rest from our labors, and our works follow after us. And so we are to be busy. The title, busy here and there, too busy to pray. We're not condemning busyness, not across the board. Because as we've said, we need to get busy. We need to stay busy in the Lord's service. Remember in Mark 4 and verse 19, I think here's the problem. It's a problem of our priorities. What are we busy doing? And in that context, when Jesus is teaching the parable of the seed, the sower, you remember sown among the thorns, something enters in, chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And remember, it's the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things. Now that's basically our problem today. Busy here and there. Busy, all right, but busy involved in other things. Frittering away our life, our time, with things that are really of secondary importance. Majoring, if you will, in minors in our lives. I was reading from Luke 9, a commentary years ago. And remember in verses 57 through 50 or 62, Jesus is talking about those who said, I will come, I will follow you. And Jesus puts them to the test. And the man pointed out, here are individuals who are seduced by the secondary. Things that are not the most important things in life. Secondary at best. First, let me bid farewell to those who are at home. First, let me bury my father. And so once again, seduced by the secondary, that's our problem. We need to be busy, but busy here. Not busy here and there. In 1 Kings 20 and verse 40, if you'll remember in that context, what the prophet, the message he gets across to Ahab, is really a microcosm of our day. He said, when I was busy here and there, he was gone. Go back tonight and read that context. Ahab had let Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, slip from his hands, a man that God had destined to die, if you will. And so the message the prophet was getting across to Ahab, you're the one who let him go. But the prophet said, busy here and there. Again, how fitting that is for our day. We need to be busy in the Lord's kingdom. We need to be busy doing the Father's work. Remember in Luke 2 and verse 49, Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, Joe mentioned this, we're to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. What did Jesus say in Matthew 21 and verse 28? Go work today in my vineyard. Remember Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, whatever your hands find to do, verily do it with all of your might. The New Testament, its version of that same thought, Romans 12 and verse 11, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Jesus asked the question in Matthew 5 and verse 47, what do ye more than others? Paul tells us to secure undistracted devotion to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 35. We're to excel still more. Some translations abound or increase still more. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1 and verse 10. We are to be busy. The Bible teaches us to be busy. God has so constructed, composed the body so that we can be about His business. But secondly, not only should we, must we be busy, but we ought to be people of prayer. You know, we think about the second half of our title, too busy to pray. And really, honesty demands that we tell the truth. There's not one of us here in our lives daily who are too busy to pray. How do we come off saying that? We're all blessed with the same amount of time, and yet some are prayerful individuals, others are not, and yet they use the excuse, well, I'm just too busy to pray. We all have the same amount of time. If we were honest, we would say, well, I'm too worldly to pray. I'm too lazy to pray. I'm too self-sufficient, too self-satisfied to pray, too arrogant to pray. Now those may be true, but not too busy. And if we're going to talk about being too busy, why don't we do as Joe suggests tonight and say, I'm too busy for Satan. I'm too busy for his allurements. I'm too busy for his temptations. I'm too busy for sinful pleasure. I'm too busy for pettiness. I'm too busy for immaturity in my Lord's service. I'm too busy for strife. Now, those are things we ought to be too busy for, but never too busy to pray. I want you to think with me, as you think about the Old Testament, and there are a few occasions where the Bible teaches, God says, my house shall be called a house of what? Prayer. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Read Isaiah 56 and verse 7. Read Jeremiah 7 and verse 11. Read what Jesus has to say in Matthew 21 and verse 13 as he runs the money changers out. As it is written, my house shall be a house of prayer. You've turned it into a den of thieves, den of robbers. God's house was to be a house of prayer. God's people were certainly to be people of prayer. Have you ever noticed Isaiah 8 and verse 19? It's not only interesting, it's somewhat amusing what God says there. Because he's talking to his people who, instead of consulting him, praying to him, they're going to the mediums, to the spiritists, whom the Bible says whispers and mutters. And the question is asked, should not a people consult their God? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living? Notice that God is saying, shouldn't a people consult their God? Why would they go to these people, mediums, spiritists, who are dead spiritually, to consult about the living? But you know this is true. You go through the Bible from beginning to end, and every great Bible character, every faithful Bible character, every heroic Bible character was indeed a person of prayer. There is no exception. Instead of using the foolish excuse argument, I'm too busy to pray, They were about the Father's business, and they were too busy not to pray. That's really what we need to emphasize in our lives tonight. We're too busy not to pray. If we're really doing what we've already said, if we're not busy here and there, but if we're really busy with the Father's business, then we're too busy not to pray. Hannah, in 1 Samuel, the first chapter, what's she doing? She's praying. Anna, in Luke, the second chapter, verse 37, day and night serving God with prayer and fasting. You ever noticed Jeremiah 15 and verse 1? Two men's names in the Old Testament are mentioned. And think about why these men's names are mentioned. God begins to tell Jeremiah, Jeremiah, don't pray for this people. Three times he says that. Once in chapter 7, once in chapter 11, once in chapter 14. And it seems as if God is now saying, Jeremiah, let me clarify something. I'm not saying that your prayer specifically is ineffectual. That's not the problem. The problem is with the people. And so in Jeremiah 15:1, he says, even though Moses and Samuel were to stand before me, my heart would not be with this people. Now, why would he choose Moses? Why would he choose Samuel? Think about it for a moment. Here are two men who are the greatest intercessors in all the Bible, all the Old Testament at least. And God's saying, Jeremiah, it's not that your prayer is ineffectual. Even though Moses, even though Samuel were to stand before me, my heart would not be with this people. It's their problem. But every great man of God, every great lady of God in the Bible, a person of prayer. Daniel, what did he do when he knew the injunction was signed? He didn't say, well, I guess now my prayer life is over. My prayer life has ceased. And I really believe Daniel is an example of what the Bible teaches of what our God means in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Well, what does that mean? It means we establish a habit of prayer in our life, and nothing stops us from praying. Nothing causes that habit to cease. Daniel, knowing the injunction was signed, he went back to his room, opened up his windows towards Jerusalem, prayed three times a day, as was his habit. Nehemiah, cupbearer for the king. If that's not busy enough, remember he asked permission in Nehemiah 2 and verse 5 to go to Jerusalem to rebuild Jerusalem. The walls have been lying dormant for over 100 years. Nehemiah doesn't know it at the time, but in 52 days, he and the people, because they had a mind to work, Nehemiah 4, 6, were going to rebuild those walls. Think how busy they were for those 52 days. But in thinking about that, go back when you have time, and I would encourage you to make time. Read the book of Nehemiah and emphasize this time in your reading Nehemiah's prayer life. He didn't say, I'm too busy to pray. I've got this project on my hand. There's rubble all around us. The work is great and extensive, and I don't have, you know, time to pray. He didn't say that. Again, too busy not to pray. In fact, the book of Nehemiah opens with Nehemiah praying. He's asked Hanani about the captivity, about his brethren, about Jerusalem. And the report is not good. They are a reproach. The walls are broken down. And remember what the Bible says? He wept. He mourned. He sat down. He fasted. He prayed unto his God. Nehemiah 1:4, it begins with prayer, and the book ends with prayer. Then Nehemiah 13 and verse 31, remember me, O my God, for good. Nehemiah, like every other faithful, heroic, great Bible character, was an individual of prayer. Hezekiah, king of Judah, he prayed in time of national crisis. Remember when Assyria came? Remember when Sennacherib sent his men to taunt Israel? And remember what Hezekiah does? He sends his ambassadors to Isaiah. He tells them in 2 Kings 19 in verse 3 that it's a day of trouble, a day of rebuke, a day of blasphemy. But he knew how to handle that day when it came into his life. It was also time for prayer. He prayed during national crisis. Hezekiah also prayed during personal crisis. Remember in 2 Kings 20, when he's told, set your house in order for you will die and not live. He prayed to God. And the report was, I have seen your tears and I've heard your prayer. But you know tonight, the greatest example we have is our blessed Lord and Savior. He was a man of prayer. Busiest man who ever walked upon the face of the earth. Our Savior who redeemed us from our sins, but his attitude was never, I'm too busy to pray. Conversely, I'm too busy not to pray. Take your Bibles, if you will. Turn with me to Matthew, the 14th chapter. I want to look at something. This is the verse that Robert cited when he gave me this assignment. But you know what's interesting about this context? Matthew 13, it ends with Jesus being rejected in his hometown of Nazareth. Matthew 14 begins with the disciples bringing Jesus news about John the Immerser. He's been put to death. He has been murdered. Chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. Read with me, if you will, verses 13 and 14 of Matthew 14. Notice, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And when Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, he was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. I'm going to contend that when Jesus is rejected, when Jesus hears word that John, his beloved friend, has been put to death, Jesus departs, I believe, on that occasion, in that instance, to pray. But he cannot. Because the people are following him. He sees the people. He's moved with compassion. And so instead of praying at that time, he heals the people. Well, then in verses 15 through 21 in this context, it's late. The disciples say, send them away. Jesus says, we can't. I can feed them. They need to be nourished. He not only heals the people, but now he feeds the people. And look, if you will, at verse 22. Notice this. It says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Notice that. Jesus' concern, even on this occasion, was for others. He's busy. He's healing the people. He's feeding the people. He sends his disciples away so that he can actually bid them farewell, so that he, in essence, could say goodnight to them himself. And after all of that, look at verse 23. It says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. It says, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. A long day in the life of Jesus. The news that he had received had not been good. I'm sure in one sense he would have longed for that solitude, just to be able to depart and to pray, commune with his God. But no, he sees the people, he feels compassion, he heals them, he feeds them, he says goodbye, good night to them. And then at evening, he's praying. Our Lord and our Savior, our perfect example, 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, was a man of prayer. It's undeniable when you look through what the Bible reveals about our Lord. In fact, remember in Mark 1 and verse 35? In that context, it was morning, and he goes to pray. In Luke 6 and verse 12, he prays all night long before he chooses his apostles. In Luke 5 and verse 16, one translation says he would often slip away into the wilderness and be found there praying. He not only prayed, but he taught about prayer. Remember in Luke, the 11th chapter, the friend at midnight, the importunity of prayer, the perseverance, the persistence that we're all to have in prayer. Luke 18 in verse 1, where he teaches a parable that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Notice that. Lord, why so much emphasis on prayer? Why are you so concerned about our prayer life? So that you might not lose heart. Do you realize that Luke records at our Lord's baptism that he prayed? At his baptism, he prayed, Luke 3 and verse 21. In the garden, he prayed, Matthew 26, three times. Not my will, but thine be done. At the graveside of a friend. Oh, we all know that Jesus wept, verse 35, but in verses 41 and 42, Jesus prayed on the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Luke 23, verse 34 and verse 46. You see, our blessed Lord was indeed a man of prayer. He didn't say, I'm too busy, busy here and there, too busy to pray. No, remember, he said, I must be about my Father's business. Luke 2:49. And being about the Father's business obviously demands that we remain prayerful individuals. You know, when I thought about this lesson, I thought about emphasizing many, many things, but I want you to think about this in closing. We certainly should pray. No doubt about it. Not too busy to pray, but too busy not to pray. Pray. You remember Proverbs 15 and verse 8? The prayer of the upright is his delight. That verse alone should encourage all of us to pray. The prayer of the upright is his delight. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. James 5 and verse 16, pray. And not only pray, but pray without doubting. James 1 and verse 6, because let that man know that he'll receive nothing from the Lord. Pray without doubting. Have the faith of Abraham, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Remember unto whom you're praying. Our God, the Almighty, the one with whom nothing is impossible, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask and think, Ephesians 3 and verse 20. So pray. Pray without doubting. Pray without fainting, without fretting, without losing heart. Here's a study that I'll guarantee you if you'll do this on your own. It will be one of the greatest studies you've ever undertaken in your life. It will be so memorable, I'll guarantee you this. It will help you as you go through life to do what we're talking about, to imitate our Lord and Savior, and to pray as we ought. But go back and look through the Old Testament. So many times God commends individuals for rending their garments. That was an outward sign of inward grief. When the heart was broken, when grief was too much, the garment would be torn. It was depicting sorrow, heartache. There was one group in the Bible that was forbidden to rend the garment, and it was the priests. In fact, in giving instruction about their clothing, they were taught how to sew it where it would not tear. Almost impossible to rend. Now, why is it that God would commend kings and prophets and almost everybody else, but for his priests, do not rend your garment? I believe there's a principle there. Things written aforetime, written for our learning. Romans 15:4. What can I learn about this? We, brethren, are a royal priesthood. We are priests today. When problems come into your lives, when problems, troubles, sorrows, tribulations afflict you and cause heartache, don't act like the world acts. Don't act like it's something that's caught us by surprise. Let's understand we're destined for these things. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. What do we do about it then? We pray. Don't rend your garments. Pray. Pray without doubting. Pray without fainting. Pray without ceasing. The Bible teaches that. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter 5. And verse 7, busy here and there, too busy to pray. Let's be honest. If we're not prayerful individuals, it's not because we're too busy. Let's be busy in our Father's kingdom, in the Lord's church. And let's understand that because of that attraction, involvement, excitement, that we're too busy not to pray. For the child of God tonight, for my Christian brother, we need to be at work. And I hope that you are. If you've been standing idle all day long in the Lord's vineyard, then please repent of that. Please change that regarding your life tonight. And to our friends who are still outside of Christ, this is a time for decision. Job mentioned Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. Choose life that you might live. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. The familiar words of Joshua. Joshua 24 and verse 15. If you're here tonight and you've never rendered obedience to the Christ, but you have been taught the truth by someone who cares about you, someone who loves you, someone who has inspired you and encouraged you to do what's right. Are you willing tonight, in hearing the gospel again, to unite it with faith, to believe? And based upon that belief, to repent of your sins, to confess Christ as Lord, and to put him on in baptism for the remission of sins, that sins might be washed away. Please, please don't wait. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Hebrews 3 and verse 7. Everything is left tonight in readiness. God is good and he's ready to forgive. Psalm 86 and verse 5. If you're ready to obey. Jesus is the author of eternal salvation for all those who will obey him. Please don't say, I'm too busy. Too busy to obey, too busy to come, too busy to serve, too busy to grow, too busy to teach, too busy to pray. We'll all take time to die. We'll all take time to stand before our Creator, who's not willing that any should perish. Let's do what we need to do right now, together, while we stand and as we sing.